The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your call on anything that has to do with your health, as long as you don't want me to answer in drugs or surgical procedures. Seriously, this is the program where we put it into a natural perspective. You know, you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that, you know, haven't worked really well. Well, this is your opportunity. Call us, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We have probably a seasonal appropriate topic. Well, it happens all throughout the year, but even more so this time of the year. And so here's the picture, right? Here's what it looks like. If, you know, you can't get to sleep at night, or if you go to sleep at night and you wake up kind of repetitively through the night, you never sleep soundly. If, you know, you're waking up way too early, regardless of what it is, and, you know, your energy is down around your toenails, your brain is kind of going on an exit strategy and you can't keep focus anymore. You're having difficulty, not only in work and school and so forth, but in relationships and so forth. What do all these things have in common? What we're talking about is you can't sleep. It's called insomnia. And over 30% of the population suffers from insomnia. You don't sleep. You know, sometimes you're dozing off, but you're not focused. But who better, you know, to discuss this than Dr. Stephanie Pina, our resident doctor of naturopathic medicine and acupuncturist. And welcome, Dr. Stephanie.
Thank you. So, are you suggesting I know sleep?
You know,
I do.
You do? Really? Yeah. Don't ask me how I sleep. You know, people come in and say, well, how do you do what you do? And do you sleep at night? And I kind of divert the subject and I don't talk about it too much because, you know, it's on purpose with me. It's not because I can't sleep.
Well, there's a lot of people who think that the amount of sleep that they get is perfectly fine. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that's 5 hours and under. And it's nowhere near the 7 to 8 hours that we should be getting to function properly. So all the polls that they've done, more than half the people at 5 hours thought they got plenty of sleep, they should be going. So sleep always gets a bad rap because we don't realize how many benefits to our health, and every single part of our system needs the benefit of sleep.
You know, patients come in, they'll tell me, I always wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, no matter what time. And I said, yeah, so why don't you go to bed earlier? You know, at that period of time, there's a reason we're going to get into that, why people wake up. And actually, that is the time around 6 o'clock in the morning, if you're sleeping properly, that you should be waking up. And if you're not doing that, there's another reason. But, you know, we said about 30% of the population suffers from the inability to sleep through the night. And guys, you know, and women, we're not talking about having to get up to go to the bathroom, although that interrupts your sleep cycle and makes life even worse. But the bottom line is simply this, you know, without sleep and restoration, your body can't function. What do we see normally? You know, patients come in and just generally broad-based situation, population in general. You know, let me ask you this question. Why don't people sleep? Why do they start out as babies sleeping really well? They get into, you know, youth and they still sleep. You know, teenagers, you can't get out of bed. You know, you have to get a crane to get them out in the morning. They'll sleep 12, 13 hours if you let them. Why is it, as we start going on, what happens, Dr. Stephanie, that causes the body not to stay asleep, particularly early on?
There's so much. And the funny thing is, if there was one particular reason, that would make it really easy. And, of course, the pharmaceutical company would like to find that one reason and play off
you,
on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. and we'll get definitely into that, like, I'm sure, during the radio show and the lecture as well, too, because there's a lot, really, those sleep medications are all working off of one function to help you to go to sleep faster, and that's about it. That should be used short term, and they're not used short term. But there's a lot of things that go on, from our adrenal systems kicking in and our body going, okay, you haven't fed me enough, or we're trying to like force things to happen. When we think about it, a lot of our sleep problems have to deal with how we deal with our daytime problems. We don't put any real benefit to sleep when it comes down to what can I get done the next day. So when people come in, they're already thinking about what they're going to do the next day. There's no time between I came home, I ate dinner, I might stay up and do something. So now I have my relaxation time to calm down, and then I try to put sleep in. So sleep does seem like it's just an annoying thing that has to happen in between. So when we wake up the next morning, we wonder why we're groggy and there's sleepiness during the day and why we crash and why is that? Well, we're not working with our own cycles, really. We're trying to force something that's not there. And of course, everything that we have available to us, electronics, lights, everything like that, that throws our own systems off.
Constantly
we don't
stimulates.
Have a normal nighttime anymore. So why would we want to go to sleep? If you think about it, we're not productive when we're sleeping, right? We're just there. We hallucinate. Our bodies become pretty, our body core temperature goes down. We don't do anything. Like, it doesn't seem like we should be surviving.
You know, my Christmas wish is that I want 24 hours a week, every week that nobody else has. And then I figure I might be able to start to catch up. Maybe. 888-630-9625. That's how you get a hold of us today and talk to Dr. Pina. And we'd love to have you as our guest this Wednesday evening, the 5th, at the Roselle Center for Healing, 7 p.m. Dr. Pina is going to be talking about this subject particularly. She's going to be talking about why you don't sleep. You know, this is going to come as a surprise to most people. Okay, here's the surprise. You should crash at night, go to sleep, and stay asleep, and wake up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and ready to rock and roll and take on the world the next day. How many people do that?
You hear all the jaws dropping right now.
I know. And
we want eyelids to drop.
We're
but not
inside
right
the
now,
bunker.
But later.
Yes.
But,
yes, I know.
But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it should take 10 to 15 minutes to go to sleep. And how many people come in and they're like, I'll go to bed and I'll sit there for an hour or 2 hours. And some of that might be part of their sleep ritual to get them to relax, to go into sleep. But at the same time, it should take 10 to 15 minutes because those brain waves have to start to change, have to start to develop. And our brains aren't always meant to be on off. We like to think that when we can't do anything, but our brains are much more active in going into that repair process. The memory, basically, the hard drive is now downloading for the day as we're sleeping. But when we think about it, when we wake up earlier and earlier because we have an alarm clock or we got to do stuff or there's healthcare conditions related to that or even pain management has to do with it as well, too, why we're not sleeping because we're in pain.
Absolutely.
We see that just looking at the opioid crisis and going, and it's just one more thing to add into that as well, too.
And then people drug themselves. So they have uppers during the day and downers at nighttime and painkillers in between. And so let's talk about a little bit. Let's touch on those, you know, those three sides, if you will, the structural, chemical, emotional, because in this particular situation is probably more applicable and understandable to our audience than some other things. You know, you talked a little bit about the emotional side. Your brain is cranked up. You're thinking about stuff. You have it on your brain. You don't want to forget about it. You got to get up in the morning. You have that short period of time. I've got to stay in bed and I've got to start going. I wake up in the middle of the night with that. You know, you hear it with every patient that tells you you can't sleep. So the bottom line is that they come home, they're cranked, they don't eat, they grab a glass of alcohol or something to calm them down, or a drug, or both, and then they listen to the talking heads, and then they get all cranked up anyway. Or they sit there and they watch some stupid movie that has violence in it, and they're cranked up even more. But even the runoff of the television and the computer screens are going to scramble their brains, right? So you've got that emotional piece that's not allowing them to calm down. And then you go to the pain pattern. The
right.
Pain pattern is awful.
Yeah, and you have, look at a lot of the pain medications and drugs, if they're taking them to sleep during the night, they're not addressing their sleep, they're addressing their pain. And that pain drug is so strong that it's knocking them out. So now you're playing off the side effects of a medication to get you through the night. Same thing goes with someone's taking other types of drugs that, you know, typically are prescribed, like anti-seizure medications can be prescribed for sleeping. Antidepressants can be just like, you're not treating ultimately the emotional or the physical problem. You're just trying to basically knock yourself out and kind of hope that the next day, and all those have shown that the quality of sleep isn't as good as if you get natural rest.
No, you're not going into restorative sleep. You're
right.
Just being knocked out like you're in a coma.
Your REM sleep, where we think about normally the dream state going on, doesn't necessarily enter in. If it does, it goes in and out much quicker. And we need prolonged periods of time in that REM sleep in order to help maintain and basically kind of let the brain repair itself at night.
So the chemical piece is the interesting thing, because that's where the drug companies and everybody likes to go. And you're looking at, you know, melatonin, and, you know, that's produced by the pineal gland. And that has a whole pattern of stimulation, starting with that fight flight system that we often talk about, the adrenal system. And so you have people who are hyperstimulated, and they're knocking down that system. They go into a bedroom that is totally, totally non-supportive of sleep. It's too warm. You've got digital printouts all over the place. You have lights leaking in from other places. Your body cannot get into that restorative down state. You might pass out, but you're really not sleeping. So, you know, what other pieces that people aren't aware of are they, you know, biochemically, bioelectrically, are causing these problems?
Well, going right along with cortisol and head-to-head, I mean, you've got to look, like we talked about eating late. And so a lot of times, which is always funny because you'll hear us say all the time, like, have a little bit of protein before bedtime to eat. This isn't the same as have the gigantic meal before bedtime and then sleep on it. It's very, very different because essentially, you know, cortisol is basically playing off of our blood sugars as well, too. So if we don't go to bed and we haven't eaten for a really long time, like we're fasting, that's going to create a blood sugar spike, and cortisol basically starts to kick in as our stress response, going, oh my God, we're going to starve to death. We better wake up now. So we see that at that 3 o'clock in the morning rise when it starts to creep up. Or at the same time, if you have someone who's going to bed much later and has gotten used to that pattern of 1, 2, 3 a.m. saying, well, I'm just going to sleep until 11, 12 in the afternoon. What's funny there is now you've thrown off your whole metabolic pattern as well, too, because you've gone so much longer now without eating anything. So there's a lot of chemistry involved with it. But essentially, all those other hormones are playing off each other as a big cycle. And earlier in the year, we did the circadian rhythm show.
Yes, yep.
And so it's really playing into that, too. And some of it may seem so simple to do this, like, basic sleep hygiene. But at the same time, it's the simple stuff that we like to leave out.
Yeah, it's incredibly important that we understand how the body works. And if you just step back, you don't have to have all the scientific intricacies of really understanding what you're supposed to be doing. Your body should go into a natural cycle where, you know, you pop up, you're wide awake, you do your day, you start slowing down towards the end of the day. And then, you know, that rest period, that slowing down period for 2-3 hours actually before you go to bed. And a lot of you are saying, oh my God, I don't have 2-3 hours to slow down. Well, you can modify it. You don't have to have the tube on. You can start listening to some gentle music. You don't have to have the lights blaring, calm them down. Stay away from the computer. Don't just shift it off and try to go to bed, or get off your iPhones, your smartphones. I call them the stupid phones. We're all tied to them. We're tethered to them. And, you know, we do that, and then we expect to go to bed, and then we keep them next to the bed, you know, and anything that clicks at the end of the night, we're constantly being awake. But these are so many of the small problems that we're seeing that can be eliminated totally. But if we get into the program, I want to talk to you about the devastation that not enough sleep causes. Everything, not just, you know, the inability to sleep and have cognitive function, but the health depletion, the degeneration that does go on. They're significant.
Yeah, it affects every system in our body. And what's interesting is the more information that sleep researchers do it, and this isn't just like a sleep study to see, like, do you have sleep apnea? Do you need a CPAP machine? Because that in itself, like you addressed also earlier this year, a lot of the times what you're looking at is how is my body processing and what am I getting rid of by even losing like 1 hour a night? Because there's changes with even 1 hour a night that if we don't get it, that we see. And we don't need a sleep study to tell that. It's called daylight savings.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about how you feel when those clocks switch around a little bit, right? My guest in studio is Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine and acupuncturist. Many of you know her and know she is amazing in the wealth and breadth of her knowledge. This Wednesday evening, the 5th, she will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing, 7 p.m., What better time to get a handle on being able to sleep and understand what you can do coming up for, you know, the new year, 2019? Wouldn't it be great to get a handle on it and turn your life around and really restore what you have to restore? We're coming up to a break. We have a lot more information for you. We're going to give you some things to apply. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about a problem that affects 30% of the population. 30%. That's like huge. The problem with that is not only this is a problem in and of itself, but it's causing so many other conditions. What am I talking about? I'm talking about you people just don't sleep. You don't go to bed. And some of you that go to bed can't get to sleep and stay asleep. It's not okay, you know, because it's going to cause all kinds of issues from not only not feeling, you know, your best and 100% and the energy going, but your brain's gone dead on you. And it's going to cause your immune system to begin to deplete. And there's so many reasons for this. We just don't get it. And now in the world of technology, we're seeing more and more of you not getting into complete restorative, you know, lights out sleep where you wake up in the morning, you feel great. Let's take on the world. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's get it done. Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar, does it? Well, here's an opportunity. Call us 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax is Dr. Stephanie Pina, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. Those of you who know her know that she is amazing with the amount of information that she can give you in a very short period of time. So show up. All you got to do to register, go to RoselleCare.com and hit the button, say register here, and we'd love to have you as our guest. Let's talk about that a little bit, Dr. Stephanie. What is really restorative sleep? What does that mean?
Well, it's interesting because we always hear the 7 to 8 hours that we need to have. And during that time, and it's kind of funny because they did a Gallup poll back in 1942, and most people were getting 7.9 hours of sleep then. Switch over to the next time it wasn't the next time they did it, but the most recent time they did it was 2013, and now we're averaging 6.3 hours. So we're not even near where we should be. When we get that restorative sleep, the whole body goes through an adjustment period and it gets to relax everything from the cardiovascular system to the immune system to the point where when we don't get that sleep or when we get sleep in different times than we think, like night shift workers. I always think of the people who are actually watching people do sleep studies because clearly their job is now making them not sleep at the times that they should. But that's actually become a causative cancer factor, according to the World Health Organization. So us not being able to sleep when we need to get that restorative sleep, and not only for our mental beings, but to allow everything else to kind of put itself back into place, that's key. And every single part of the body has to go through that. It needs that time. So even though we're inactive physically, there's a lot of activity going on.
Now, you want to shut down all the environmental stimulus, you know, when you're trying to get sleep. And we'll get into in the second half of the program, we're getting a little bit more of the specifics on this. But if you're on medications, you have to know that the medications that you're on are causing other problems as well. Love to talk to you about those and tell you what. But this Wednesday evening, I'll give you an opportunity to find out how you can reclaim your sleep. Because truly, as we said earlier, you should go to sleep pretty easily at nighttime, 10, 15 minutes, and then wake up ready to rock and roll. But you don't do that. And we touched upon several reasons that occurs. You know, but in today's world, let's talk a little bit for a second or two on the emotional stress patterns. People are going to bed with problems on their heads. They said, oh, my God, I can't forget to do this. Well, there's a simple way of handling that. It's like write them down and put them next to you, and you can remember it in the morning. I sleep with a book next to me that I'm constantly writing in just in case my brain does stupid things like wake me up in the middle of the night. But the point of it is that this is a problem, the emotional piece, and we're particularly in Washington, D.C., we're being bombarded. How can people really get the fact that this is destroying their health?
Well, and that goes along with just how do we do that even during the day? Never mind at nighttime.
Yeah, that's true.
How do we do it during the day? True. Again, it's like, how does our daytime activity affect our nighttime activity and vice versa? So journaling is one of the great things, kind of getting that done. How that, you know, unfortunately, some people do need to do, they do better when they have the list. But making the list at the last minute at nighttime is, guess what's on your mind is that list.
Correct.
You know, we're already starting to do the first one as we're lying down. Like, you can't grocery shop when you're trying to sleep. It's just not going to happen.
No.
As far as, I mean, sometimes you see people that look like they're doing it, but it just can't happen. But one of the main things is, like, how are we dealing with things during the day, and are we finding activity levels that help to stimulate our body so that when we do go to sleep, our body truly says, I'm rested, I'm ready to go to sleep, let's relax now. If we're trying to, and we see this in different cultures as well too, not even just in the DC area, but we see different cultures saying, don't go to bed angry, don't, you know, go sleep on that problem and stuff, because you do have a better, more active mindset when you wake up in the morning saying, I feel better physically, mentally, but then it's also saying, you know, let me look at it from a different situation and not react really right away.
Yes. You know, the old saying that many of us embrace is, you know, particularly when you go to bed, give it up to God, forget about it. It'll be there in the morning. You know, you'll be protected. The bottom line is that we live in a society that we're being stressed out structurally, chemically, and emotionally, and it's not okay. And so many of us, you know, are using different, we're self-medicating. We have that drink before we go to bed, and that's not okay. And I want to talk to you about that and, you know, how long before the body can metabolize that to allow you to sleep, because otherwise it's going to wake you up. We're coming up to the halfway point of the program. Love to talk to you. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject that's about your health. Would love to put you in a better direction. You've tried, you applied, you've done things that don't work. Well, here's an opportunity, particularly with the subject that we're talking about. What are we talking about? We're talking about your inability to sleep, to restore, to get your health back, and you're really screwing it up, because those of you who don't sleep and, you know, have aberrant patterns, or you catch as catch can and so forth, trust me, you are causing your body a tremendous amount of deterioration. We're going to get into that very specifically. Before we do, let's go to the phones. John, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Hi. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, my friend. Thank you for calling in. How can we help you? What's...
No problem. Yes, sir. I'm a retired police officer a few years ago, and I worked what you call a rotating shift. Every 2 weeks, you'd be on days, next 2 weeks, evening, then midnights after that. And I noticed doing the midnight shifts, I had a hard time sleeping in the daytime. Not much problem in the afternoon shifts, but I noticed the midnight was the worst. I'm just wondering, you know, I still work out and things like that, but long-term effect on your health in a situation like that.
Well, John, let me ask you a question. Now that, you know, you're on, you do your own thing, you're not having to do the rotational stuff. What time do you generally go to bed, and what time do you get up?
My normal bedtime seems between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. I'm not a night owl, and then I wake up. I still have a hard time sleeping, maybe 4:30 or something like that. But I wake up sometimes during the night, a few times too, you know, because I just hard time, I guess, adjusting to it, you know.
Okay, how long has it been since you retired?
A couple years ago.
Okay, so do you wake up once, twice during the night?
Two or three times a night, you know. I have no problem going to sleep. It's during the night, you know.
Yeah, what's interesting is, so I'm going
to... what the working environment or conditions I went through or not, you know.
So there's a lot of interesting things with that, and I'm going to call my dad out for a second, because he was a night shift worker for years, and I see some changes, and he's been retired for about 10 years now, if not more, and he still suffers from this kind of weird sleep pattern as well, too. And what's interesting, sorry, Dad, the 8:30 is about where he goes into a nap phase.
Yeah.
And then wakes back up kind of like, you know, an hour and a half later and stuff, which is typically about, maybe it's a little bit early for when he would wake up to have gone to work, because he probably had to be there at 9 or 10 p.m. and then would work through the night. But what's interesting is then that also throws off when you're eating as well, too, your eating patterns. So people's breakfasts become their lunches and their dinners. And then when you're getting home later on and you're trying to say, now I want you to pretend it's daytime, it doesn't work out so well. There's a government worker that I work with currently now that has this 2 week cycle as well too. And he'll say that's the roughest pattern. He'd rather have it if you could work a month at day or night, and then you can transition, because that transition time going back and forth so quickly is so hard.
John, what time do you eat your dinner?
I'm sorry, what?
What time do you eat your dinner?
I've always, 4:30, 5 o'clock, I've always ate kind of early. Raised in the country, as a small boy, we always ate pretty early, you know, in the afternoon, evening time, rather.
So you're eating your dinner at like 4:30, and then essentially going to bed maybe 4 hours later, which looks great as far as time between eating. But then if you're sleeping through and not getting up till, say, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, that's a really long time for your blood sugar to kind of drop and not get any of that nutrient back. So already, again, that connection between the adrenal system and your blood system's kind of going, your body's saying, oh my God, we're starving to death. We need to wake up now. So it's this automatic, like, it's never going to be restful because your body's kind of already on high alert. So you see this over and over again.
I work out a lot, like stay in shape, but I noticed when I was working those shifts, my body never adjusted, because when you start getting adjusted to one shift, and now you got to go to another one. So it's like you never, ever get accustomed to a certain sleep pattern. You understand what I'm saying? You know. Just never worked out.
John, try something. There's a lot more that we need to know to really figure this out, but this can be solid. You can get through this thing. There's a lot of different pieces of the puzzle. The energetics are shifted. But try eating some protein. First of all, try to make 9 o'clock your bedtime. And then try to eat some protein about an hour before you go to bed. And what I'm talking about is not a steak or anything like that. You're talking about just about an ounce, maximum 2 ounces of a protein. So you can have a hard-boiled egg. You can have a handful of organic nuts. You can have a small piece of chicken or something of that nature, a piece of red meat. Just a little bit, but no more than an ounce or two. And do that consistently. And then see if that changes your cycle. If it does, if it begins to modify it, then that tells us that what's happening is your blood sugars are crashing in the middle of the night. Your cortisol is shooting up and it's waking you up. That's what's doing it. And that's the piece that has to get regulated. The other piece is make sure that your room is completely black. And, there's no digital imprints. You don't have any light into the room and so forth. But, John, really appreciate your call. There's a lot more that we need to do. Join us this Wednesday evening. Dr. Stephanie will get in very specifically with you. Jay, how can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Jay.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. We have a third shift worker.
What I'm calling about, I'm a third shifter. I work 10:30 at night, 7 in the morning. My Mondays or Tuesdays, Fridays or Saturdays. I'm 6 years old. I never hear a whole lot of discussion on the sleep appropriation or whatever it is that people of my flight have. And they talk about normal sleep.
John or Jay, you're breaking up, buddy. Call back in. Let's see if we can get a better connection. All we're hearing is static, and I know that you're a third shift worker and so forth, but give us a call back in, and we'll get you back on. Maria, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I have a question about naps. People who don't get to sleep the 7 hours at night but take naps during the day, does that help them make up what they haven't been getting at night?
Well, it's kind of interesting because when we don't get the sleep we want, it seems really interesting to get that nap. And unfortunately, I think we've all done it and realized when we get that 1 or 2 hour nap, like, midday, sometimes right after lunch, and it seems like it's the best quality sleep. So we're like, let's just keep doing it again. The problem is that when we're missing out on sleep, we kind of have a sleep make account. And the problem is you can't just put extra hours in to catch up for what's coming up next. So it really ends up shifting off your nighttime sleep in that particular pattern. So when people do like power naps, or you have companies that used to have like little power sleep pods where they would do 15, 20 minute naps, that wasn't enough as much to shift off the nighttime sleeping. It was enough to kind of give them refreshments. And I think a lot of times it was just trying a chance to relax more than it was like to be on the go. But a lot of the times the napping, especially if you start getting after 2:30, 3 o'clock, now you're going to really affect your daytime or your nighttime sleeping patterns as well too, because your body's that bank account doesn't quite give and take as much as what we want it to.
The only piece of that that is useful and is helpful is that you'd never want to get into a pattern where you have to do that regularly, as Dr. Pina said. When I was in school back in the day and I was in the clinic and, we're working long hours in the clinic, and in addition to that, I was doing a preceptorship, my sleep pattern, and I hate to admit to this to any of you, was like about 4 hours a night. And I would, if I sat still for a period of time, I'd be out cold. And the only thing that really restores is mental function. It allows you from losing it completely. So that quick, I'd be able to go into a dark room, and we'd call it, our intern recovery area. And I would close my eyes and I would be out for a half hour. and they would have to, you know, make sure that I'd come back out of it and wake up. But I would go back, I would go into a heavy, deep sleep, and because of that, I could focus, I could think. But those 4 hours were, it was a good thing that I graduated and then got into a normal lifestyle, because there's no one that can continue that process. So it will help your emotional, your mental process, Maria, but it's not going to still repair, restore as a good solid night. And, you know, here's the piece. A lot of, you know, the studies out there are, you know, saying 7.5 to 8 hours, 8.5 hours. We have patients that I know sleep a solid 6 hours. Now, it has a lot of dependence on, you know, what the state of your health, how well do you eat, you know, is your diet clean? Are you truly balancing the structural, chemical, emotional pathways? The more you do that, the more you can do 6.5 hours. And if you're out cold for that period of time, you can do well. Now, anybody can go a long period of, or go a period of time with shortened sleep. It's not something that you want to do, because the truth of it is it will break your cycle down. You've got to get into a normal pattern, and we'll talk about that as we go through. And this Wednesday evening, Dr. Pina is going to get into specifics of this and be a good good opportunity for you to come in. But nap taking does not, long term, does not substitute for a solid good night's sleep. You need to be, you know, in bed, in the right environment. We're going to talk about that a little bit. What's what right environment? What does that look like? And then go from there. Let's take one more call. Leroy, how can we help you, sir? Thank you for calling.
Well, I have narcolepsy, and I've had it since I was 16 years old, and I'm close to 90 now. And I would wonder if the doctor would have any comments about that at all. It was diagnosed at the clinical center at NIH back in about 1978 or so. It as definitely is narcolepsy.
It's a tough one, especially when...
Could you speak up just a bit? I'm hard of hearing, and I don't have my hearing aids on.
Okay. So one of the things is that, that's a difficult thing, because did they put you on medication for this?
No.
Okay. So a lot of times people will end up getting put on medication, and what ends up happening is it's throwing off their cycle more by just trying to keep them more awake, or doing things like an Adderall that kind of keeps them going, basically. It's that stimulant during the day. What's interesting is you'll see some of these same sleep patterns with people who are also blind and have 24-hour sleep issues, because they can't tell the difference between night and day. So sometimes what we've done is what Dr. Rizal was saying. It's funny to think that looking at diet and when you're eating can play a factor into that, because we need to change your sleep cycle. Your body is so used to being able to shut itself on and off that it doesn't know when, it doesn't know any better. It thinks it's a normal thing. So that's that chronic pattern that keeps going.
Leroy, let me ask you a question. When this started, when you said you were 16 years old, did you have any injuries? Did you have any trauma to your skull or your body?
Absolutely. My father died in 1945 at the end of the year, and by 1946, I was experiencing that.
That's very common. The emotional traumas that are embedded, or you can call it a PTSD situation, will cause that type of situation. And it's almost a depressive state, where if that situation, that emotional pattern wasn't fully resolved, you start triggering the put to sleep, if you will, hormones, the chemistries in your body. And subsequently, if that was never resolved. And let me ask you another question. Have you had any kind of recurrent lung problems, breathing problems over a period of years? You know, if you get sick, it goes to your lungs. Any wheezing?
Hearing problems?
No. Breathing problems.
Breathing problems. No, not really.
Okay, so you haven't had pneumonia, bronchitis, or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Often, and this goes to the Asian medicine, any kind of grief patterns that haven't been resolved fully end up manifesting in the lungs. The emotion for the lung is unresolved grief, and that also can go to a narcolepsic pattern. I've seen it several times over the years, but it's something that, you know, it can be identified and handled properly. Also, then you look at neurotransmitters within the body. These are the chemistries that your body produces in the intestinal tract, and they can also affect brain function. They do, not can be, but they do affect brain function. So if you're not producing enough of those things, then you're going to get into a narcoleptic pattern. We see it where the body is producing too much of pineal chemistry, which is melatonin, and it's always putting you into that want to go to sleep pattern. So it's a broad based situation. Narcolepsy doesn't happen because of one particular situation, but when you look at it, you have to look at energetic pathways, you have to look at intestinal tract problems, you have to look at brain trauma, anything that has happened as far as physical trauma to the brain. And you end up seeing this with a lot of ball players, particularly in the NFL, and guys who are playing soccer where they're hitting the ball, you know, with their heads and so forth. That can cause a sleep pattern as well. You know, would love to have you as our guest this Wednesday evening and see if we can put a little bit better of a situation, you know, and help you a little bit. I mean, you've suffered with it for a lot of years. Doesn't mean it's not that can't be made better. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be your host and your presenter at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. And she's going to be talking about nothing other than you can't get to sleep. You know, this is not okay. You know, or staying up. And conversely, you sleep too much, like a narcoleptic pattern. You know, you're sitting at a stoplight and you want to go to sleep. Sometimes that's a result of you're not getting enough sleep. You're just exhausted. You're beat up. And you have to be really careful. You know, people are honking at you and so forth. But if you find yourself dozing off, you know, in a meeting and you're yawning all the time, that's not a good thing. Your body's trying to recover from something. Take a look at your lifestyle. Take a look at the injury patterns. Take a look at all those things that have happened to you. See what your diet looks like. See what your stress level is. Are you willing to do something about it? It can be resolved in most cases and made better in many others. So we'd like to invite you. Be our guest this Wednesday evening. All you have to do is go to RoselleCare.com, hit the button says register here, and we will make sure that we have a seat for you. Love to have you. Your host will be Dr. Stephanie Pina. We're coming up to the last segment of the program, and you know, this is an exciting topic simply because all of us who are drivers, who are pushers, are guys that, you know, think that we have to get 10,000 things done yesterday. We all have had or do have this type of situation. How do you handle it? Well, that's what we're going to cover Wednesday evening. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon when the Redskins are not in town or playing on Monday night. Next week, we'll be on Saturday, and we have a very special presentation for you. Actually, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be your host here in the studio next week because I will be traveling again, and she will be with one of our nutritionists, Mary Jane. And Mary Jane and Dr. Pina will be talking about eating well for the holidays.
How to survive the holidays?
Wow. Well,
which involves eating.
It involves eating.
If not more so at that time than anything.
That's
right?
Very, very true. Particularly if you're at my house with 35 people for Christmas Eve. It's never an easy process. However, let's talk about and wrap this up, because this Wednesday evening you're going to be telling people how to actually get some sleep and save their lives. And, you know, we mentioned at the break that the insomniacs have a greater risk of dying from car accidents than anything else.
Yeah, more so than alcohol-related car accidents. And there's an interesting difference between the two as well, too. And I think this is also why when you're under the influence of alcohol, they talk about how you have a delayed response. You're just not as quick to pick up on everything. When you're falling asleep at the wheel, your body's not doing anything. You're out, you know, and you're even if you're catching yourself, you're kind of out. So that's why there is no quick recovery time when you realize there's something there. It just happens. And so a lot of these responses are more deadly because you're going full force at someone else and there's no break time. So it's really interesting. And when you're missing out on that sleep as well, too, your immune system doesn't work as well. Your cardiovascular system doesn't work as well. Your reproductive system doesn't work as well. It goes on and on. And that's why we really have to look at how important sleep is to understand why we have kind of put this negative stigma on getting it, and how putting it is not something that we can put aside and come back and repeat later on. So really everything that we've done there, and even some, I'm going to talk on some of the technology and some of the weird things that have come out in the last couple of years that are supposed to help us sleep, but also don't help us sleep. We look at some of the stuff that's on our phones that we shouldn't be looking at our phones. You have patients that come in and says, I saw what time I stayed up at night because I looked at my cell phone. Okay, so now we have blue light, we have technology, and that's what's keeping you asleep.
Scrambling your brain, which you shouldn't be anywhere near you
right.
to begin with.
But then what about some of these other things? Like, we've looked at mattresses. I've looked at some of the Fitbit stuff. There's stuff that's putting out there that's supposed to track and monitor our sleep that it's a little bit different. They're giving us different information, just like different sleep studies are giving us information. And how do we take it all in and say what works for me? And really, we have to look at why sleep is important to understand why we have health issues related to sleep deprivation.
You know, anything that messes up your electrical flow in your body, you do not need to have around you when you're sleeping. If you're wearing a Fitbit, take it off. If you have a watch that has a battery, take it off. Do not have any electronics anywhere near you and cover up any of your digital imprints. This Wednesday evening, you got about a minute. What are you going to talk about?
I just told them what I'm going to talk about.
No.
Sleep and why it's important. What can we do? How do we go over some sleep hygienes? Also, what we're going to do is have a pre-quiz too. So we're going to see how good your sleep study is. And how well you know about your own sleep patterns. But we're going to really come up with some solutions on how do you deal with different types of sleep problems. And also address a little bit, you know, people think that things like restless leg and sleepwalking and sleep talking, even sleep sex, is related to not being asleep, but you are in a sleep pattern. It's just your arousal system is just going full active while you're kind of unconscious. So we're going to address some of these symptoms and answer questions.
I'd like one of those unconscious things, but I won't talk to you about it right now. We'll discuss that later. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be your host, your presenter at the Results Center for Healing. And she's going to be talking about all those wonderful things you should and should not be doing. But seriously, more importantly, how you can resolve this, stay asleep, and make a difference. This is truly a structural, chemical, emotional pathway. We're coming up to that place where we have to say, see you later. We love you all. Bye.